Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes, ma'am.
Sound turned on, and you have the floor to start your meeting.
Okay, great. Okay, good afternoon. I'd like to call the Osage Nation Membership Committee meeting to order. Today, 14th at 1:32 p.m. May we have roll call, please?
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present. We do have a quorum. Thank you all for being here today. Next on the item is agenda is a prayer. And if you will please bow your heads and join me in prayer. And the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow on us on a daily basis. We ask that you lay your hands and arms around us and the entire world so that we may know your strength and know your love and know that we will come out of our home with the determination to overcome what is facing us and what is facing this world. We ask this in all your sins, in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if I may, Madam Clerk, ask if anyone else could identify themselves so that it can be put on the record who is joining our meeting today.
Yes, Brandy, this is Sarah Oberly from the membership office.
Hello.
And this is, hi, Corey Lorenzo.
Hi, Corey, glad you're on. Any other members? Okay.
Speaker Tillman.
Hello. Wonderful. I heard Congresswoman Sabler and Speaker Tillman, is that correct?
Congresswoman Whitehorn also.
Hello, Congresswoman Whitehorn, good afternoon.
Hello.
Okay, so if we're ready to move on, now we have ONCA 20-12, an act to authorize the membership office to issue membership identification cards to require members at least 18 years of age to obtain a photo membership card and to require the photo membership card comply with the United States Rural ID Act 119.302. To repeal 26 subsection 12-101 through 12-104 and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Edwards is the sponsor of this one piece of legislation. And Congresswoman Edwards, may I ask, did I just see an email come through of amendments that you have that you intend on proposing?
Yes.
Did I ask everyone has received this the proposed amendment? Walker, did you receive those?
I'm looking at them.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Thank you. So this bill has been worked on. Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear. Yes.
Hello.
This bill has been worked on for a number of months. It was proposed during the interim, and I drafted the bill in accordance with what we were discussing in committee and listening to the membership's office's request for a new scheme for membership cards. So I drafted the bill based on what I was hearing in committee during the interim, and have gone back several times and made revisions prior to reading it in. When I read it in, it was still substantially in the form that we heard that we got input from in committee, and then I posted it on my website and posted it out and mentioned that it was out to the membership and sought comments from constituents. as a result of all those things that we've done and people listening to the meetings, people looking at the proposed bill, I've gotten feedback, and the feedback that I've gotten is that the membership isn't ready for a required photo ID. They are okay with an optional photo ID, but they're not there yet with a mandatory photo ID. So in response to that, I've created a series of amendments that address that issue, as well as thinking through how the membership ID, we've talked about an expiration date and how that will be carried out. So you will see in the proposed amendments that there is a requirement for automatic renewal, meaning that once the ID expires, the membership office will cause a new ID to be issued without any further action on the part of the member. With respect to the photo IDs, which are now, as drafted when the amendments, are optional, those photo IDs...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to butt in. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Those photo IDs then would be, again, optional, but you would have to resubmit your information as a member. If you did not do that within 30 days of the expiration of that ID, then the membership office would go ahead and just issue another non-photo ID. There's also a provision about complying with the Administrative Procedures Act, which is law on Osage. So, I'm to the point probably of suggesting that we get down, do the work, and look at the amendments, but if you want to do something else before that, I return the chair to you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Edwards. So in studying the bill, and yes, you referenced two meetings that we did have concerning this particular piece of legislation, and I have to let you know that I had some confusion on my part that I was working from a different bill somehow, some way. But either way, these amendments that you have suggested completely are different from amendments that I had prepared also for the bill that is currently, been filed. So I also have some amendments to offer, and so I feel like this is going to be a fairly lengthy discussion concerning, any changes or anything. So I would like to offer up the floor to anyone that has anything that they would like to add. At this point, I know that we have Ms. Oberle on the line, and I know that she has had maybe 5 minutes to look over the amendments that Congresswoman Edwards has emailed to everyone. It's a lot to look at. I'm not complaining, though. I'm just saying it is a lot to look at. But looking at your amendment, Shannon, if you don't mind, read what you intend to remove.
Sure. Do you want me to go through it right now?
Not necessarily.
May I say something?
Absolutely, Ms. Oberle.
Number one, this is not a real ID, and you still have real ID in there. It is not. A real ID can only be issued by the state. We're not a state, so that's got to be taken out. My second thing is the last meeting we had, we went over this optional require, and it was my understanding it was to be required, but we were going to give it up to 3 years for everybody to get used to it. And I don't know how one person makes a decision themselves that, I heard from some people, well, they don't want it. I hear from people every day that would love to have a photo ID. So I'm a little baffled why it all got turned around so quick when there was never, the consensus was we were going to make this mandatory with a long time to let everybody get used to it, up to 3 years. So that's my confusion right now.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Oberle. And so I do recall the last meeting that we had in talking about the Real ID compliant. It's not something that if this photo will not be, this membership card will not be in a Real ID compliant. So that some of my amendments that I was going to propose was going to remove that particular aspect from the legislation that we have in front of us. The other piece of it is that Congresswoman Edwards is talking, so there's Real ID throughout the entire piece of legislation. The other piece was that I also recall, and please, when I'm finished here, I'll open the floor up to anyone who would like to add to this or take away from it, but I do recall the idea of not calling it mandatory, but we use it, the word requirement instead, being that we did purchase this machine, the engraving machine, so that we could all have the same ID, every one of us, could have the same ID regardless of age. It would all be one ID with this engraving machine, and that minors would be allowed to not have the photo on it, but everybody else would, it would be a requirement to have a photo ID. What's the point of purchasing and putting out the money for this particular piece of equipment if we're not going to use it to its fullest capacity? And so I'll open up the floor to any other comments, but I do agree with Mrs. Oberle that we did have that conversation, and that is where I thought this piece of legislation was headed. So anybody else would like to weigh in?
Walker.
Congressman Walker.
Okay, so right now as I'm listening, I'm trying to compare the actual bill that's filed or unfiled and with the amendments that Congresswoman Edwards sent out or sent to the clerk about 15 minutes ago. I don't think we can really effectively go over all of this. And striking lines 55 through 97, as I'm going through here, it looks like a lot of the language and a lot of the sections are the same, or slight or close to the same. It's kind of up to the chair, really. I guess what I'm trying to say politely is, it would have been nice to have had this a day or two before. Like, we've been working on this for months, and we got 3 pages of amendments at 1:30. It's when the meeting starts. The same with the executive staff. I don't see anybody going in and getting the picture taken anytime soon. So I guess if this doesn't make it out today or get voted on in this session, it's not the end of the world, although that would be nice. If I'm complaining just a little bit, but I'm trying to compare the amendments to the actual bill, and that's hard to do on one computer, anyway. Yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing from Congresswoman Edwards when going through. I wouldn't mind hearing hers to some of your amendments that you may have, Congresswoman Lemon. But as far as, I would just prefer to do that without any motions being made at this point and give everyone an opportunity to weigh in. That's the road down to this meeting.
Congressman Walker, could you repeat that last sentence? It was a little jarbled.
Sorry, I said if we're going to consider or talk about these amendments, I would rather do it in a way that this is what I'm proposing and why, without motions being made and considering motions at this point, and giving everybody an opportunity to weigh in. That's just my preference. But I'll go with the majority of the will of the committee.
So, Congressman, I'm just trying to follow here a little bit. Would you prefer to consider postponing this until a further meeting and looking at both possible amendments and setting the amendment separately at this point in time, being that there could be extensive amendments to the proposed legislation?
I would be up for that. I wouldn't mind taking a little bit of time and hearing from, you know, Ms. Oberle or Mr. Lorenzo, that have spent a lot of time working on this, you know, just off the cuff, what they may think about Congresswoman Edwards' amendment, or they think it would be more prudent to take some time to review. I'm willing to listen to everyone and then go with the majority.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Congressman Walker. And so, yes, Congressman Edwards, if you give me just one moment. So Mrs. Oberle did weigh in on the particular piece of legislation, and now we have the amendment. So Congresswoman Edwards, that you have emailed everyone. So would you like to pretty much discuss your amendments, I suppose, at this point?
Yes.
Let you know that my amendment is basically off of the email that we've received from visited with Sarah Oberle about just a couple of things that would have to be changed in what's existing now. Whereas it looks like your amendments are further. So if you would like to go forth with that, where the committee is, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. All right, so as we've always done in Congress, we work in committee during session to work on legislation that's filed for this session. The work that we did in the interim is a study of the law and the Constitution requires us only to study subjects during the interim. So what we did in the interim was very helpful to get to this point, but I don't know that we had a consensus, and we certainly hadn't solicited input from our members. This is not Shannon Edwards' idea about what should happen here. This is me providing a proposal based on the feedback that I got from other people. So I don't believe that there was a consensus. I certainly put out what I had heard from interim committee meetings that we had, and I put those out and put them into words, and I wasn't committed to it either way. I'm still not committed fully either way, but I do think this is more thought through in terms of the information about renewal and some of those things that I don't believe the bill addressed in the beginning. So starting off, the first proposed amendment is at line 16, and it used to read, to require members at least 18 years of age to obtain a photo membership card. What this would do is take that requirement out and allow members at least 18 years of age to obtain an optional membership card. Those were the first two amendments. And the reason for that proposal is that the feedback from many people, including elders, is that they are not interested in having a photograph identification card. So that's open for discussion, but that would be the first proposed amendment. The third amendment addresses the Real ID Act. My understanding from the beginning is that our photo identification card was going to be able to comply with whatever requirements the federal government had for being able to travel. And so the language does not say that it is the Real ID Act. It says that it has the same requirements as the Real ID Act, which would allow for Osage members who had a photo identification card to use that photo identification card for travel. If I misunderstood that's what we were trying to accomplish, then I did misunderstand, but I thought that that was the point of having all the additional information and the ID on the ID card. If we're not trying to get to that point, then we need to talk about that. Then the next, yes.
Real ID is not a function of the federal government or tribal government. Real ID is a state function. When Oklahoma becomes Real ID compliant, they're going to have a star in the right-hand corner of their driver's license. Putting Real ID, because that's what the states call it, in this bill, people are going to go to the airport and say, I've got a Real ID. There's not going to be a star there. It's going to cause confusion, and it's an error. It's not a Real ID. Let's not call it something that it isn't. That's my point.
Okay. So will we be able to fly with this then, ID?
Yes, because it's a federally recognized photo ID that the TSA will accept. It's not Real ID compliant, and it's not a Real ID. But yes, the TSA, get on their website, federally recognized tribes with a photo ID will be accepted. But don't call it Real ID.
Okay, I'm happy to let the legislative council fix that language.
If they put Real ID in there,
it came from him. Okay.
Pardon me?
Order, please. Order. Okay. Let's get back in order here. Thank you very much. If you could ask to be recognized, I would appreciate that, and be respectful of one another so we're not talking over one another. So this is been a point of contention on the Real ID, and I can see perceptions are at the opposite end. I suggest at this point, Congressman Edwards, that you submit your amendment. We vote them up, we vote them down, and we move on.
Okay. Well, that language came from a federal statute. So if it's wrong language, then I certainly am happy for the legislative council to change that language. But he pulled that language from the federal statute. So not that big a deal. We can fix it to the satisfaction of the membership office. No problem. So then the next main thing is then the discussion about the membership office authority to issue the IDs, and the main then changes start at Amendment 4, which strikes lines 55 through 97, I think. It's either 96 or 97. And insert the following. So now we're talking about, and this first is just moving some of the language up from a different section. So now we're talking about a membership identification cards, and they're going to contain the seal of the Osage Nation, your full legal name, your sex, your date of birth, your membership card number matched with the membership's number issued by the Osage Nation Membership Office, a date of expiration, and a signature of a member who is over 18 years of age. Then the next thing would be the card application and the optional card information. The application of a member or for a member initially applying for membership or the legal guardian would include a request for a membership card and an optional request for a photo membership card. I guess I should say a membership identification card, so I can make that change. Or an optional request for a photo membership identification card with instructions on how and the documents that are needed to process each. Then that should be a B. When they're 18 years of age and older are issued a membership identification card, which may contain information in the application and a photograph, and then it tells how you need to do that. You can submit it in person, you can submit it by mail, or you can submit it by electronic means, and you can be issued a card that complies with the requirements of the United States Code, and that's the U.S. Code section. And then members under the age of 18 will get a minor membership card, which is what some people have referred to as the white card, which will but it won't just be the white card. It'll have additional information, which is the name, the birth date, the sex. And that's valid until the 18th birthday. And then a guardian, this is what we talked about, could ask for a membership identification card for a member under 18 years of age upon submission of the information and a photograph and a payment of a fee. Then section 6 would talk about when the identification card expired and automatic membership identification renewal. This came to me from several people who said, are we responsible then for renewing our membership card, or is the membership card going to automatically renew? And it seemed to me that since we now have a membership card that lasts forever, and that we didn't want to place any more responsibility on our members to remember to renew their membership card. There's nothing that perhaps the membership office would know everything about those people that had already applied, that the membership office would be charged with sending out renewal membership cards. And so then upon 18 years of age, a minor gets a new membership card. Within 10 years, that was the date you guys had suggested for the amount of time that a person had a membership card. Upon the expiration of 10 years, that person would get a new membership card. If they wanted a new photo identification card, then they had to submit the information within a certain period of time. Otherwise, they would just get the regular non-photo membership card. Section D gives some dates. Section C and D give some dates that the membership office sends renewal cards, just the non-photo ID renewal cards to everyone no less than 30 days prior to the expiration of their previous membership card. And the membership office sends a renewal photo identification application to those members who have elected photo membership identification cards. And if they don't turn that information back in, then they'll get just a regular membership card. I just didn't think it was fair to require the members, and this is the feedback I got, why do we have to be responsible for renewing, to send something in to renew our membership every year, 10 years, and what is it that we're supposed to send in? So that hopefully clarifies that. And then we have an Administrative Procedure Act, Section 7, which we need to comply with. It calls for, comment periods regarding rules and regulations. It calls for submission of rules and regulations. And so the Administrative Procedures Act is included. Those are the main proposed changes. Again, it's not myself that this can, I can go either way on this. So I think it's important for us to have this conversation in public with the public, hearing the conversation and then having more opportunity to weigh in. So I'm in favor of discussing all of this for the rest of our time today and then having, as many other meetings as we need to sort through what all needs to be done. But I do think we need to address, either way we go, we need to address what happens upon the expiration of the card.
Okay, Congresswoman Edwards, I'm going to ask you to submit these particular amendments via the congressional rules to the committee chair. I will do the same with my amendments that I have also. If you would, please. The other thing is that I agree that we definitely want to talk about these in the public, studying these and listening to what you're saying and trying to read through these at the same time is not conducive for some folks in the comprehension piece of it, and that's not taking away anything from anyone. We have worked through this legislation. We've changed it around a lot. We've had a lot of talk about what we should have, what we shouldn't have, what perception we do want to, do we need this, do we not need this? Also we've talked about some of these things that are listed in this particular piece of legislation could even be deemed policy
that the membership department could put into policy themselves. And so I, like I said, I would appreciate it if you could submit these amendments via the congressional rules instead of in the red line like it is like this. And
Madam Chair, they are.
Oh, I didn't see them. Sorry. I apologize. Where are they?
They came through Shanna and were sent out to everyone.
Chair Lamon, I sent the actual amendment first, and then there was a second email that was sent that was the explanation of what the amendments would do. So the actual amendment should be before, you should have received it beforehand.
I do see that now. May I ask, Ms. Overly and Corey, if you guys could not, of course, talk over one another, but have you all had a chance to look through these amendments? Because there are several amendments that are significant, which is a difference than what we have been talking about in the two prior meetings whenever we were just doing the study of the possibility of having a photo ID. Would you like to weigh in, Ms. Overly?
I will say the amendment about the renewal, that's not a big deal. We can do that fine. That's nothing. But everything else, I mean, right now I'm kind of stunned that it's just kind of flipped from the last meeting we were at. So it's going to take me some time to read through this, try to absorb what's happening now, and hopefully we can do this again.
Thoughts from a 20,000-foot perspective. The end goal is to have an ETC, which is an enhanced tribal card, and that will be optional. And we need to have the same information that's going to be on that as if you want to delineate the criteria that goes on the card. Then it should be what's going to be on the ETC card, and that would be membership number, full legal name, address, date of issue, expiration, sex, date of birth, signature, and seal of the Osage Nation. Excuse me. And let's. My comment about that, and I would strike anything about real ID, because as a federally recognized tribe, our card will be an identification. At the federal level, tribal cards are being counterfeited, and which is one of the reasons why, in the process of creating this card, we decided to hire the company that would give us security features built into the card that the government will like when we want to use it as an ID and when we want to go fly and travel with it.
Okay.
Those are just some thoughts.
Okay, so it sounds like we do have a lot of absorption to go on with concerning these amendments, and some may feel we've taken a few steps backwards. So maybe we're taking a few steps forward. Anybody else like to weigh in at this point? Okay. So the chair would entertain any types of motions or movements.
Chairwoman.
Yes. Is that Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Okay. Go for it.
You mentioned a couple of your amendments on. One was the real ID. Do you want to just briefly mention or talk about the other amendment or two that you were going to offer up for consideration? Or do you want to basically deliver those in writing and give everyone an opportunity to absorb them or and be prepared for the next one?
Thank you, Congressman Walker. I believe that to be fair and respectful to everyone, including our membership, our constituency, and our members of our committee here and our congressional members, that I would like to, and I appreciate that idea, to write them up and send them to the body of, you know, Congress, and of course to the rest of the members, and then also to the membership department. For that, ultimately, mine were not as extensive an overhaul of the proposed legislation that's in front of us now. It was basically just removing the real ID piece so that there's not a misperception. And then it was also inserting the word photo after membership. Photo ID is what it would read on a lot of places. And then adding the chief signature to the card and requiring a signature of the applicant if they're 18 years and older. I'm still with the fact that I do think that we should have the photo on it, but of course that's just my opinion. So I would be all glad to offer mine up in writing just the way Congresswoman Edwards has, so that we can all continue to look and discuss and come to an agreement.
May I say one thing, one additional thing?
Yes, Ms. Overly, go right ahead.
That we will need to have chief standing bearer or just the chief signature on these cards also, whoever the chief may be in the future.
Thank you, Ms. Overly. That was one of the amendments that I was planning to offer, along with removing the real ID. And so I will get those prepared and get those out. We can look at those and study those. And the floor is open for any motions or movement.
Congresswoman, Chairwoman Lemon Whitehorn here.
Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn, go ahead.
I'm listening to the conversation, and I'm really not knowing how this legislation's going to go once the amendments get considered and proposed. But I do have questions that maybe were covered in previous meetings, and maybe I was able to attend a couple of them, maybe I missed one. But I need to get straight in my mind, if we were to accept the legislation as written, and a member's card expired in 10 years, and they didn't supply you with the photo ID and the new signature and new address, then would that person automatically not be an enrolled member because they didn't have a valid membership card? That's a gnawing question I have.
Okay.
How can we handle that when this is set in law in a certain way?
If I may answer.
It's okay. I missed the last bit. I think I interrupted Congresswoman Whitehorn, and it wasn't my intention. The last couple of sentences, Congresswoman Whitehorn, I'm very sorry. What did you say?
Well, I just, you know, is a membership card what makes you a member of the nation? If you don't have one, you don't want a valid one or one in date. Does that mean you no longer qualify for services? So that's concerning to me to know, because this is a change, to know how it will work in the future. So thank you, Congresswoman Lemon. I'm finished.
Okay, so now this was discussed at one point in another meeting, and I am going to let the membership director, Ms. Oberly, weigh in here, because this was discussed prior to, and I'll let her give that explanation, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you.
Okay, no, the card has nothing to do with being a member of the Osage Nation. Once you get a number, that's your individual number, that until you relinquish, that will always be your number. And therefore, doesn't matter if you, what kind of card you have, if you have the membership number, you are a member of the Osage Nation, and as such, whatever benefits you qualify for.
May I add to that, Ms. Oberly?
Yes.
So I think what we talked about too, and please interrupt me if I am incorrect in stating this. This is for Congresswoman Whitehorn and anybody else, of course, that is listening. So the understanding is that we purchased this piece of equipment with this programming so that we could have a photo ID and a holographic ID, something that cannot be faked by made with a fake ID. On it, you're going to have your membership number. when you become a member of our nation, that membership number sticks with you until either the day you die or the day you relinquish your membership. This particular card is going to do a twofold for us. It's going to be a membership card on top of a membership photo ID. Therefore, it is going to have an expiration date on it for us to be able to travel with it. So let's give a scenario. A scenario would be that you are going to, you're going to go visit your son, Maria, in Italy, if he's still there, I don't know, in the future, and your card is about to expire, and you want to get, and while you're gone, it's going to expire. So you need to get it renewed so that you can travel with it. It doesn't mean you're no longer a member of our nation. It just means that you may not be able to use it for identification purposes, for travel or identification purposes anywhere else that requires a second ID. Am I correct in that statement, Ms. Oberly?
Yes, you are correct.
Does that help you, Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes, I understand that, but then it raises another question, if I may ask.
Absolutely.
So I'm wondering why that should not be an optional reasoning to have the photo ID. If you were a tribal member that wanted to utilize this card for a physical ID with your photo address, my question is, why wouldn't that be an option to our tribal members instead of a requirement to our tribal members? Because some will use it to travel with, some won't. Some it'll just be like the white card they keep in their wallet. So I'm trying to understand why it's necessary that we engage all members to comply with the photo ID portion of the membership instead of letting it be an option to those who would like to utilize it in that way.
Is this directed at me? Can I answer this? Or?
Well,
you know, if this passes the way it's written, then it is going to be optional. And that's, you know, if that's what you all want it, if you want it to be optional, it will be optional. I think we've gone to a lot of expense to make sure we've got a state-of-the-art card. Every tribe has a photo ID. I think we are the only ones that do not. Now, besides travel, if you go to buy cigarettes, if you go somewhere and they've got to prove your age, this will prove your age. It's just coming up in the times. We're so back in the dark ages with that little white card that most people don't recognize it. They think that's not a membership card. And I have to say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It has a number on there, and it has their name and their date of birth. You can't use that for anything except for maybe services here locally in Pawhuska or, you know, the surrounding area.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes, ma'am.
I am completely 100% supportive of members of having this equipment, of issuing this form of ID for tribal members that want to utilize their membership card in that way. I support it 100%. As far as making it be a requirement, I care for an elder father, and you know, and I know we have many more elders in our community, and for them to have to do all the work that it will take to keep their to get this ID and make it be a requirement, I'm not supportive of that. Because I know without my help at this point, my father would not be able to engage and have phase in 3 years to this type of photo ID. And I'm sure that there are members out there that may not have the help of a person to get this done for them, especially if they live away and they don't have the option of driving or having somebody drive them into the office. That's the segment of population that I think about. And for those that just really don't want to go get the passport photo and send it in, I don't think it should be required. So that's my comment, but I am 100% supportive of any member, probably myself, that will want to engage and get a photo ID for their tribal membership card. So thank you for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn, your comments. And I just would like to add that, okay, sorry, to add that, and I'm not to, to argue the point of against or for at this point. I just want an absentee ballot. We have to send a photo ID in with it. And it can be your driver's license. And I believe, to clarify, and if Ms. Overly could clarify, it doesn't have to be a passport photo. There's going to be options to send a photo via your phone to an email address, possibly, and things of that nature. Is that something that in the policy you had talked about?
Yes, there's technology. We're going to use the technology that's out there today. So there's passport photos on your phone. You can take a picture, email it in. We print it off, and we can print it on their card. So it's nothing that we're going to make hard for anyone, and it can be very, very easy. But again, I'll be honest with you, if we go with the optional, there's nothing that's saying in a couple of years we can't come back and amend it, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I could probably live with that.
You are right in that sense. Does anybody else have anything that they would like to weigh in at this point?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
You know, I don't feel like the optional part is written for people that are a certain age and below, because I think that they can all probably handle this. It is a concern of those people that are a certain age that just are not technologically savvy, and they were concerned. I got a lot of input from out-of-state SAGs that were concerned that they had to come to Pawhuska to get their ID. Now, I didn't think that that's what was happening, but I wanted to be clear, because they were, you know, very critical of the way the bill was written. And in looking at it, I said, okay, I can understand that it doesn't clarify that. So I did try to clarify. The other thing that I believe we spoke about, and I didn't put it in the bill, but I believe we spoke about the fact that if you didn't have a current valid ID, that you were eligible to access benefits. And so then the question becomes, whose responsibility is it to make sure that you renew your ID? Is it the member's responsibility to do that, or is it the membership's office responsibility to notify the member that their ID is about to expire and either send them a renewal ID or have them know that they have to submit the information again? I think we need to include that in law somewhere. That's why I added an additional section to the bill, because I think it needs to be very clear whose responsibility that is.
If I may, I think that would be a good idea. If we send out informing them that their ID card is getting ready to expire, because if we just automatically sent them after 10 years, you're when you get a certain age, you know, 10 years, it shows a lot. You know, I'm sorry, but it's just the way of life. And, you know, maybe we're going to need a new photo on there. Or, God forbid, they passed away. Well, I don't want to be mailing them a card, because, you know, they may. In this way, if we just send them the reminders, and, you know, maybe with the check, do you want another? Send me a photo, we'll get you another one, no problem. But like I said earlier, it's easy for us to track when they're going to be after 10 years, who, when, where. You know, it's not going to be it's not going to be hard to do that. So
can
I have
a
problem with that.
Overly?
Yes.
Is it your concept that everyone's going to get a new ID at once, or do you have a rollout over, like, you take people alphabetically or people a certain age? How are you contemplating that these IDs with an expiration date get in people's hands?
Okay, the first
phase, and this one came from Chairman Lemon, and I thought it was a great idea. We were going to have, at the first, we'll have a, what we call, she called a soft opening, and that will be for the employees. That way, they can come in. Most of them can come in person. Those in Homney, Skytook, they can mail theirs in if they want to, or send it electronically if they want to. We're going to roll it. I would like to see that we roll that out first to them. That way, we get all the bugs, everything ironed out, that if there is any problems. That way, when we do open it up to the general population, we know we've got it, it works, it will move smoothly. After that, I know we're going to get hit hard at first because I know there's a lot of people that want to get one. So right now, we've timed it even with our laser engraver, and it takes them 2.5 minutes to engrave. So it's not going to be as quick as the little white card that just spits out. So we may have to, like, once we see how this is going to go, we may have to start limiting or just, you know, putting out in the paper that, sorry, you know, you may have to wait. We may start making appointments. We're not there yet. We don't know what it's going to be, but that's something that we can work out later.
I'd like to add to that, Ms. Overly. So when we did talk about like what a soft opening like a restaurant does, it's not to discriminate against anyone. It's not to leave anybody out. It's just trying to identify a group that you could utilize it on for a soft opening so that you could have any factors that come up that you could, maybe we didn't ourselves discuss in committee here. Maybe Ms. Overly and her staff, you know, didn't discuss that piece of it. And that's what's great about, you know, using a small section and gathering data from that, a small sector. Now, if someone hasn't, you know, that it was just an idea that was come to my mind in the sense of, instead of just rolling it out full force and then being the membership department being bombarded and the natural progression of everything, and I'm going to speak negatively, and I try really hard not to, but of the people, of our people being how we're not, you know, it's broken, the system's broken, it's not working, they're taking forever to get the call back to me, all those things, you know, to try to alleviate some of that, to try to go out in a small, short, little section, subsection, to see what kind of bugs and things we can work out that would make it easier when we do the full rollout. Whether the full rollout be whatever Ms. Overly chooses for it to do, but at least you would have an idea of some data and other feedback and information that you would get. And I certainly wouldn't want anyone listening in to think that we would be discriminating against a certain group or not a certain group. I think it would be very important to note the group of the population that Congresswoman Whitehorn and Congresswoman Edwards had mentioned, some people that are technologically disadvantaged and then people that are cognitively disadvantaged at times. We do have those, and then we just have some people that, you know, just don't communicate except for a phone call. And so we do know those people out there. I know that Ms. Overly knows those people are out there. And I know situations where she's discussed with us, talking about Ms. Overly, how they've had to, you know, help people, and they do, and they go their furthest to help them to accomplish receiving their membership ID. So I feel like we're pretty much back where we started in the interim as far as this piece of legislation. It sounds like we have a lot of work to do and a lot more discussion to go for. And so if anybody else has anything that they would like to ask or add, please do so.
Chairwoman Lemon, okay. This is Corey.
Yes, go right ahead, Corey.
My thoughts are this should be required. That's my two cents on that. But I'm not a decision maker. Also, just to clarify, once a person has this card, it's their membership card forever. And just the ID aspect of it will expire. And for some reason, sir, maybe the 8 years is sticking in my head as being a max. Do you recall that?
I do. As I've always wondered that, because I was like, where did the 10 come from? Because, well, and I think what stuck with me is most all the tribes that I did research on, they always had the 8-year.
Yes, yeah.
So we might want to check with that before we put that in writing then, because...
Yeah, because for some reason, eight years is jingling around in my head.
And that could be the ETC card. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
I recall a discussion about 8 years, and then I recall a discussion about a passport being 10 and why couldn't it be 10. Do you all recall that conversation?
And maybe that was what we just said, okay, we'll do 10. And I think it's still going to be okay because it's our card. It's our card, and I think being a sovereign nation, we can probably, you know, put 10 years if we want.
You're right. The ETC guidelines is where the 8 years is coming from.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The chair will entertain any movement or where we want to go from here.
Motion to close the LNC in 2012 with the call of the chair.
We have a motion on the floor by Congressman Walker.
I'd like to amend the motion to the next meeting.
Mr. Andre, the motion to postpone ONCA 2012 to the next membership committee meeting.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying yes.
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 Okay, yes.
Motion
passes. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Yeah.
We are adjourned. Thank you.